We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also The Odyssey. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited, thrilled, delighted to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday. We have a lot to get into. Xavier Worthy says that Patrick Mahomes has a different mindset this season. They are currently having Big 12 media days. There is a lot happening in the world of sports. We're certainly happy that you guys are here with us on this wonderful Thursday. I'm here. Rob is here, taking you up to 6 o'clock today. The Royals have an off day. They'll be back tomorrow in action against the New York Mets. Before we get into the open of the show, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. I also need you to tell one friend. I mean, it'd be great if you could tell two people to check out the show, but you know what? Beggars can't be choosers. If you could just tell one person to check out the show, you know what? I would greatly appreciate that. So it's almost like we have deja vu. This was the lead yesterday.
1-1 pitch. Caglione hits a drive out into the gap in right center field. That's in the alley and gone. Caglione's first home run at Kauffman Stadium. Kind of a sinking line drive. And it went out of the shadows around home plate and over the wall and brightly lit by the sun right center field. So now Caglione has homered at Kauffman Stadium, and he has a total of 3 home runs and puts the Royals up 1-0 here in the second inning.
And no doubt Jack Caglione could feel like he could fly right now.
That was Jack Caglione 2 nights ago as he hit his first home run out at Kauffman Stadium. You know, you're feeling good about this. He finally got that monkey off his back. He finally hit his first home run at Kauffman Stadium. Everybody was excited. Everybody was thrilled. Well, what do you know? He hit another home run at Kauffman Stadium. This one was an absolute rocket yesterday.
Caglione blasts it. Deep center field. Cruises back. He looks up. It's way out of here. Jack Caglione's second home run at Kauffman Stadium is a moonshot to dead center. 466 feet. 110.8 off the bat. Whoa.
I will say this. Jake Eisenberg had the appropriate energy for the home run that I saw yesterday. As I said, that ball was absolutely launched out of here. Now, I think this is very premature and early to say, but it does kind of feel like it a little bit. Happy Gilmore 2 is coming out, what, a couple of weeks from now? When you remember in the first Happy Gilmore, Happy learns how to putt. Happy didn't have that finesse around the green, and the putting was a disaster. But when Happy could combine his ability to drive the ball and the short game, it made him a dangerous, dangerous golfer. It does feel, at least in these last couple of days, hey, the game could be slowing down a little bit for Jack Caglione. Again, very small sample size. But I think you got to feel really, really good about the last couple of days for Jack Caglione, the power that he's shown, and there has to be a sense of optimism around him. The other thing that I want to get to in today's open is I don't have it in me to be mad at people for telling the truth. I understand that now we love to get outraged and mad about stuff, and how can you say that? But what he said is the truth. Now, maybe people are upset about this. Maybe people aren't upset about this, but I came in today and Drew came up to me and said, hey, did you see what Lance Leipold said? I was like, no, I didn't see it yet. What are you talking about? Oh, he said that MUKU is a bigger rivalry than KU and K-State, and the text line's going crazy. And I looked at him confused. I was, really? Because that's a true statement. I mean, we live here in Kansas City. Come on, KU fans. Come on, K-State fans. We don't have to pretend Lance Leipold stood before you and told you all the truth.
Well, you know, rivalry games are what makes college football so special and in of itself. And I didn't really realize when I first got to Lawrence that the Kansas-Missouri game was more of a rivalry than Kansas-Kansas State.
Yeah.
But now with the two teams in conference, you know, we've got to do a better job making that a balanced one in the in-state rivalry. But to go to Columbia this year will be special. I'm sure there's a lot of people on both sides of it. They're going to be fired up. And to see some of these rivalries get renewed is special. And, again, will be a great time, and we'll be looking forward to it.
The Kansas-Kansas State rivalry is cool. They've had some big games from time to time. I can't really think of many football games that have really resonated in recent memory. Rob, you're a season ticket holder. Maybe one stands out to you. There's not particularly one basketball game. There's a couple of moments here and there. I remember a few years ago, K-State got that breakaway dunk, the windmill, near the end of, I believe it was overtime. I mean, there's been some pops. There's been some spurts. I know that Tang has been very big on, hey, we don't storm the court. We expect to beat KU. I'm well aware of the rivalry, and I'm not here to disrespect the Sunflower Showdown, but it's cool. It's nice. It's fun. It's part of what makes college athletics college athletics. It is important to preserve those things. No one considers the rivalry between KU and K-State to be special. There's not hatred in that rival. There's no long historic meaning or importance behind KU and K-State. They just happen to be in the same state. And they played some games from time to time. There's nothing special about that rivalry. It's not the rivalry that they have with Missouri. That's a forever rivalry. That the pageant in there is up with North Carolina and Duke, up there with Ohio State and Michigan, and some of the biggest rivalries in college athletics. That's a rival that's special. I don't just say this because I'm a Missouri fan. I say this because I've lived in Kansas City and in the state of Missouri my whole life. There's no hatred between KU and K-State. There is between Missouri and Kansas, and that hatred is equal between the two. It's not one-sided. It's kind of one-sided between K-State and KU. Now, I certainly get why K-State doesn't like Kansas. I don't really think Kansas cares that much about Manhattan. I don't really think they care that much about K-State. I mean, they know in basketball they're going to win a majority of the time, and they've kind of just accepted that they don't beat you in football. Everybody seems fine with the way that it's going. So, again, I'm not here to disrespect K-State. I don't want any problems with you. Emal, right now you and I are on the same page. I'm rooting for you. I think you guys got a shot at going to the college football playoff this year and winning the Big 12. But you guys can't be mad at Lance Leipold for telling us the truth. He didn't say anything in this thing that you should be upset about. He said what is actually happening. Missouri is a bigger rival to Kansas than Kansas State. Yes, they're not in the same conference anymore, but the passion, the hatred, the stories, they're all still there between those two programs, and that's just not going away. I can't speak from the Kansas side of the rival. I'm not a Kansas fan, but I do know with Missouri, they have tried to make a lot of other teams their rival. Whether it's been Arkansas, South Carolina, Georgia, a handful of other teams, they've tried to make other things work in the SEC. Man, my rival is Kansas. That's a team I don't like. I mean, I don't really like Arkansas that much, but I mean, it's whatever. You know, I don't care that much. I don't like KU. I'm not supposed to like KU. I cheer for Missouri. That's the way college athletics work. It's been a while since we've done this, but you know what? When you sweep the Pittsburgh Pirates, we got to go back to the old well, and it only makes sense because it's a throwback Thursday. Rob, it's been a long time since I've said this. Hit me!
We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. If you want to be.
Carrying today's Random Royals lineup takes us back to the year 2002, where the Royals lost on this date. It will sound eerily similar, 1-0 to the Los Angeles Angels. Here was the Royals lineup in 2002. Leading off at second base, Carlos Fables. Batting second in right field, Aaron Guile.
You know I love an Aaron Guile. Let's stop here. Let's give Aaron Guile his proper respect as a Royals legend.
Batting third in center field.
I don't know if he should be hitting third for you, though.
Beltran.
CB.
Batting fourth, the first baseman, Mike Sweeney.
I mean, come on now. This team actually got a shot right here.
Batting fifth.
I'm guessing it's about to start falling off a cliff here soon, huh?
Not yet, because we're batting fifth, a staple of the Royals' random lineup, the third baseman, Joe Randa.
The Joker. What's the Joker up to these days?
Batting sixth, in left field, Raul Ibanez.
Royals legend. He should be in there anyway just for the speech. He shouldn't be in there for his play. He should be in there for veteran leadership. Anytime you move to the veteran leadership part of your career, that's really code for being washed.
Now comes the fall off because
sure.
Batting seventh, the designated hitter, Brandon Berger.
Oh, my goodness.
Batting eighth, first team all theft, the shortstop, Nafy Perez.
Nafy Perez, one of my least favorite Royals. One of the worst trades we've seen in Kansas City history.
And batting ninth, the catcher, A.J. Hinch.
That team is terrible.
By the way, the Royals lost on this date in 2002 despite getting a complete game one-run effort from Daryl May.
That's an awful, awful team. Let me ask you this question. I know we're up against it. How much money do you think Joe Randa made in his Major League Baseball career? You have to remember when he played. He played in the mid-90s to 2000s. How much money do you think Joe Randa made in his Major League Baseball career?
$7 to $10 million, somewhere in there.
$19.4 million. Man, Joe Randa. Just, I know, that's what I'm saying, man. Let's give it up for Joe Randa here. We got to give it up for Joe Randa. Goodness gracious. I know you're living a great life here. I know you are somewhere. I don't know where you are, but you made 20 mil. You retired at 31 years old. You just lived a, you lived a very solid life. Everybody loves Joe Randa. If you were out to eat, if you were at Rye on the Plaza and Joe Randa walked in, he might get a standing ovation. Who in Kansas City doesn't love a smiling Joe Randa, the Joker? I don't want to be around that person that doesn't love a Joe Randa. Coming up on the other side, it is list season in sports. Someone made the half-decade team. We'll go through it. Keep it right here. So drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison, host of the Random Royals lineup on 96.5 The Fan.
Baseball with the Royals.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
We're going to get back to serious sports things coming up in a bit, but I want to give you maybe the greatest indicator of inflation. Rob, earlier today, I had to stop and fill up and get some gas. Now, maybe you guys do this with other gas stations, but there's only one gas station I will do this for. I'll go out of my way to make sure I go get gas at Quick Trip. I don't think the gas is any different there than it is anywhere else. Maybe it is. You guys can tell me, 913-586-7965. But there's just something that I really like about Quick Trip. There's something that makes me feel very comfortable at Quick Trip. So I'm there, and sometimes I like to actually go in there and pay for the gas. I just like to be around it, you know? I mean, I don't do this every time, but sometimes instead of just paying there in the pump, I just like to walk in there, you know? I like to look at the taquitos, look at a Crispito, maybe go get me a big Q, you know? So I'm in there, I'm filling up, and I see they have their summer hot dog deal. Now, I remember when these hot dogs used to be two for $2.22. You could go in there and get you two roller items for $2.22. If you needed just something quick, something to snack on, something to hold you over, You would go on the quick trip, get yourself a couple of hot dogs, maybe get yourself some of those little buffalo chicken bites, and go on about your day. Rob, it's $5 now with the drink. I don't even know if that's a good deal or a bad deal. I was flabbergasted because I remember when this whole thing used to be $2.22. Now it's a $5 meal deal at the QT. Two hot dogs, a Sprite, and it's $5.40-something. Cannot do it. Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. If you wanted an indication of inflation and how hard it is out here for us, I think that might be the sign. It might be that they've raised the prices for hot dogs at Quick Trip. Now, Rob, you know that I love randomly arguing about a list. So Fox Sports put out their half-decade team. So, you know, we're 5 years in. We're heading into the next five. Who were the best players for the first 5 years of the decade? Well, at quarterback, you will not be shocked. It's the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Listen to this. So they're doing this. They're projecting it out. So this isn't just the first 5 years. They're doing this like what they think the all decade is going to be at the end of the decade. So still five more years to go. They have running back Bijan Robinson. They think he's going to be the all decade running back. At the end of this thing, they had him with a slight edge over Jahmyr Gibbs. We can skip fullback.
Hold on. They had him over Jahmyr Gibbs?
They had Jahmyr Gibbs. They think that the first team and second team all-decade running back is going to be Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs.
The projection on those two must be bananas, because didn't Derrick Henry rush for 2,000 yards this decade? Hadn't that happened? Like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. Continue to wide receiver. It threw me off a little bit. I'm sorry. I'm back. Wide receiver. Let's go.
At wide receiver, Brian Thomas, Justin Jefferson, Malik Nabers. That's who they think is going to be the all-decade wide receivers. At tight end, Brock Bowers. Certainly makes a lot of sense. Had a great rookie season. Kelce, you think this is his last year, so Brock Bowers has a little bit to go. I actually think Kelce will probably still be the second team tight end for the all-decade. He plays this year. He played half of the decade. He will have won, three Super Bowls during that stretch, was an all-pro. I still think Kelce has a chance of being at least second team all-pro. Wouldn't be shocked if he's the first team all-decade. Let's skip the offensive line. I don't think you care that much about that. For pass rushers, Micah Parsons and Aiden Hutchinson. For interior D-line, Jalen Carter, Quinnen Williams. I would be stunned if Chris Jones is not on this team. I understand that we're projecting a little bit, but I would be very, very stunned if for the all-decade team, Chris Jones wasn't on there. Right now, Chris Jones holds the title. I mean, at one point, Aaron Donald had the crown. Aaron Donald retired, and the best interior defensive lineman in the National Football League was him. Now, it might be Jalen Carter in 2027 for the rest of the decade, but as of right now, we know who's holding the crown. I think Chris Jones, especially with his contribution to the team of the decades, Chris Jones should absolutely be on that team. At linebacker, they have Fred Warner, Jack Campbell for the Lions, and Ejuron Cooper for the Green Bay Packers. At corner, Patrick Surtain and Derek Stingley. Trent McDuffie, they have him as the slot corner for this team. And as safeties, they have Kyle Hamilton and Kirby Joseph. That is what they have as the projected all-decade team as we are halfway through. You mentioned what you thought about running back. What do you think of the rest of this team?
I mean, the projections are doing a lot of heavy lifting on this team. Like, don't get me wrong, Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas are really good. Like, I am not here to run down those guys. They are really good football players, and they will play 6 years in this decade. But do we think that their numbers from 2024 to 2030 are going to look better than, I don't know, Tyreek Hill's numbers from 2020 to whenever he's done? Like, that's a lot of projection. That's a lot of pushing forward. I feel the same way. You said it perfectly about Chris Jones. Like, Jalen Carter's going to be that guy, but you get two D tackles. The person who has been that guy should be on that list. I am curious what Fox's projection system is, because it felt like if you were a rookie or a second-year guy, you got an absolute kiss and got really favorable work on this list. Where if you're a guy who 5 years in the decade, has put in a lot of work. They just feel like you're going to fall off the map. So it's very projection forward is my early, early reaction.
No, 100%. And that's why on here it says we tried to project a combination of current stars, rising stands out, and some of those players, which I certainly understand. If you're going to project this thing out, you do need to have a little bit of a mix. There's going to be somebody that pops up starting this year. They'll play the next 5 years, and you'll look at them and say, that was a really, really good player. So I certainly understand that, but you are right. I mean, I guess at running back, I probably would go ahead and put Derrick Henry in there. I mean, I just saw Saquon Barkley help lead a team to a Super Bowl. Bijan's had a great start to his career. I would be a little bit surprised if we think for the 2020s, that Bijan Robinson was the best running back over a decade stretch. He's not even considered to be the best running back now. He hasn't been the best running back at any point up for the first 5 years of the decade. You think he's going to have an incredible next 5 years if that's how you feel about him. I really like Jahmyr Gibbs. I just would be stunned if he's a first-team guy. He screams possible second-team or honorable mention kind of player to me, and I love Jahmyr Gibbs. I actually think for the most part at wide receiver, they kind of got it right. I mean, I would put Jamar Chase in this conversation, him and Justin Jefferson. You're right, a big projection with Brian Thomas and Malik Nabers. This is a very interesting list that I saw from Fox Sports and kind of how they were looking at this thing and kind of projecting it just a little bit. Somebody who hopefully we are having this conversation about was Xavier Worthy. He was on Up and Adams earlier today. We'll also play for you what Trent Smith had to say. He was also on the show. Xavier Worthy says that Patrick Mahomes has a different mindset right now.
He had a different mode right now.
Is he different? Like, are they different right now from where you were last year in OTAs?
I think we're really locked in right now. Everybody's came back. This is my year two. This is Rasheed's year three. This is Hollywood's year two in the system. So I feel like a lot of guys came back more comfortable on it. It made things easier. We're not just kind of easy into things. We're not learning the playbook. We're not thinking. We're just going out there and playing.
I think that is a massive advantage for Kansas City. And, I mean, Kansas City won 15 games last year. They usually start very quickly and also finish very strong as well. But that right there, what Xavier Worthy just explained in those last 10 seconds, are a major, major plus. The Chiefs really aren't implementing many things when it comes to their offense. Like, you're not having to teach a lot of people. I mean, for the most part, out of your 11 starters, one of them is new, and that's your left tackle. I mean, your quarterback is back. You don't have many new running backs on this team. I mean, Breshard Smith, I don't think he's going to be starting for this team. Elijah Mitchell, I think he's a kind of plug-and-play, third-down Jerick McKinnon type. You're bringing the wide receivers back. You're bringing the tight ends back. The offensive line, for the most part, was on the roster last year. The Chiefs just start their offseason program ahead of most teams. There's a lot of continuity on both sides of the ball. There's not a lot of new pieces. So it is a lot of adding on to what you have. I think it's a big plus for a guy like Xavier Worthy. The fact that you kept so much continuity, same offensive coordinator, same defensive coordinator, a lot of the same weapons around you, that really puts you ahead of the learning curve if you were kind of looking of how you can up your game for last season, how you can have a big year, and how you can be a massive contributor this season. I think that's a really, really kind of understated part of what could make the Chiefs really have another phenomenal season and kind of stay ahead. If you think about it, a team like the Raiders, for example, in their own division, it's a lot of new moving parts, new head coach, new quarterback, new system, new scheme, new voice, new philosophy. That's not the case in Kansas City. A lot of continuity with them. Let's play for you guys what Trey Smith had to say. Trey Smith was also on Up and Adams. They must have had a Chiefs day on that show earlier today. Here's Trey Smith talking about the motivation after losing in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think you need losses in life to learn from it. You need losses to create. You need adversity to create endurance. You know, it helps build character from that as well. And, you know, if you go and win, you don't have any negativity that comes in your way. You know, you get used to it. You become complacent. And I think that's the beautiful thing about a loss. It taught us how much it hurt to lose comparatively to how great it felt to win. You know, I hate losing more than winning. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. What's the lesson in last year then, that loss?
I think the lesson is finish for me personally. Just finish strong. You know, we got to that point. We battled every single game to get to the Super Bowl 3 years consecutively. Yeah. And, you know, we still fell short. And that's something that, you know, I have to reflect on. How could I have been better in the Super Bowl to help my team win? And, you know, all of our guys, obviously, once again, it's a bad taste in our mouth. But we just want to come back and be more effective. We want to hoist that Lombardi.
Do you feel like this was like a loss that's going to propel the next three wins? Like, is that how it feels? That's sort of how I'm looking at it. Like, not that you needed the loss, but that this loss will sort of be the trajectory for the next 5 years of the Patrick Mahomes and Trey Smith era if Veach gets this thing done, which he needs to get done.
Yeah, I think it's definitely it's going to be a reminder. And once again, like that feeling we had at the end of the season, and you know, just hearing about it a lot in the off season, and it's just like, man, it's definitely gonna fuel the fire that's already within us that we want to go get it done.
You know what I really want, and this is just selfish, and I can live with that. I want guys to get in front of Kay Adams and start telling more lies. I mean, in the NBA, when you sit across from Taylor Rooks, I mean, you'll tell Taylor Rooks you think you can win NBA MVP. You don't start. I don't know, but I feel like it's my time. Dudes in the NBA get in front of Taylor Rooks and start telling some incredible stories. I need more of that in the National Football League. Let's spice up this offseason. Not just for the Chiefs, but for everybody. Who can we get to do this? Tyreek Hill, can you sit down with Kay Adams? I want you to tell Kay Adams that you think you're going to catch for 2,500 yards this season. And that you hated playing with Patrick. That's what I need you to do. Really spice up this offseason. Why don't you give us content? You got to be thinking for us. Don't think about for yourself. Think about for us. What is in our best interest? That's what we need. That's what we need.
So basically, you want Jamar Chase to do every Kay Adams interview.
100%.
Because Jamar Chase always says something. Sometimes it's anti-Chiefs. Sometimes it's he's the best receiver in the history of the league. Sometimes it's Joe Burrow's the best quarterback. Jamar Chase, to his credit, former KU commit, by the way. I don't know if I ever brought that up on the show.
No, you have brought it up a couple times.
It's a little under-the-radar fact about Jamar Chase. Jamar Chase will always say something. It sounds like you want an offseason full of Jamar Chase talking.
Great. I want, you know what? Not just that. I want more athletes to start acting and carrying themselves like Jamar Chase is what I want. I want everybody to start doing that. It'd be more interesting if they started doing that. Please do that immediately. Sit down and that little director's chair in between your football camp and start going over there and lying to Kay Adams. That's what we need to really spice the next couple of weeks up when it comes to the NFL. Now, this is very interesting. You cut this, Rob. He gave a 90-second answer about his motivation. He gave an 18-second answer about the potential contract extension. Let's hear it.
I leave it to the hands of my agents and, you know, obviously the front office staff of the Chiefs are elite. And, you know, at the end of the day, I just let them take care of it. I just have to focus on being the best version of myself, being the best football player and being prepared for training camp because St. Joe's is around the corner. That's going to be we don't want to talk about that right now.
When you start talking about you got to be the best version of yourself, you're not really giving an answer. I just, you know, I'm not here to talk about that. All I can focus on is being the best version of myself. That was your answer to a question? Some nonsense. That's not a lie. It's just some nonsense. We need more of it. I'm telling you. Come on now. The NFL. Y'all got to spice this up, man.
Hey, do you like money? Like, I got to be the best version of myself.
That's what he said. He said, I got to keep.
St. Joe's around the corner. I don't want to talk about St. Joe. I'm done.
That's what he said. He said, I got to keep being the best version of myself. No, that's accurate. I do want you to continue to be the best version of yourself. That'd be great. All you know what all I want you to do is I want you to try to get 1% better each day. How about take it one day at a time? Can you do that for me? Can you take it one day at a time? If you can do that, you know you got a shot.
Do you think he wants to just control what he can control?
Because 100%. Because at the end of the day.
Exactly.
Always at the end of the day.
All I can focus on is myself.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm just trying to work out.
No, 100%. Good luck to Trey Smith. Good luck to Xavier Worthy, to both of those individuals as we are right around the corner from Chiefs training camp. He is right. It is going to be very funny, I guess, to kind of see what the conversation is going to be coming up in a couple of weeks when the Chiefs go to training camp. And we're going to take a quick look ahead. I really think there's just one storyline heading into St. Joe. I mean, there's other things that'll be cool. Hey, what's Rashee Rice look like? The injury status? All of those things. Like, yeah, those things are going to be important. There's only really one question with the Chiefs. What's going on with the left side of their offensive line? Now, that's also kind of wrapped up into what happens with Josh Simmons, but this is a team that we all know forward and backward. Now, I don't think that's going to be the case for next year. Next year, no Travis Kelce. Next year, they're replacing right. Like, there's going to be more storylines, I think, heading into next season. But it was very, very clear what the Chiefs' offseason philosophy is. The Chiefs' offseason philosophy is more of the same. More of the same. Hey, we're the best. We've been the best team in the AFC now for 36 consecutive months. We think we can continue to do that. So we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. We're not trying to shake anything up after a Super Bowl loss. We're not going to overreact to one loss. We plan on doing more of the same. And now we believe if guys can stay healthy, if everything can line back up, we'll find ourselves in San Francisco. We'll find ourselves on the right side of the Super Bowl. It is very clear what the Chiefs' stance is. But as we get closer to Chiefs training camp, I think one of the reasons why it's kind of slow, at least when you're looking at it through the Chiefs lens, is I think it's slow is I just don't think there's a lot of storylines with this team. I think we're all excited for football to be back here. But the Chiefs are at this stage where, I mean, August matters, but it also doesn't really matter. There's not a lot of position battles. There's not a lot of camp battles that you're kind of looking at when it comes to this team. What's Joshua Simmons' health looks like for this team? What's the left side of the offensive line? I think that's kind of it in terms of big storylines for St. Joe.
I mean, because Trey Smith's contract will be done by then because the deadline is, what, 3-4 days away? So that's not going to be a storyline. Maybe that's a storyline early in camp, but that's not really an on-the-field storyline. I remember we talked about this last year, and it applies to this year. Sometimes the best training camp is a quiet training camp. There's no big news. Now, you never know what's going to happen with injury, but if you're not breaking news on SportsCenter, that's good for training camp. If you went and polled 32 NFL coaches, hey, do you want your training camp what happens to break news on NFL, you know, network or SportsCenter? They would tell you no. They don't want any fights. They don't want any, you know, fights with another team. They don't want any injuries. They don't want, you know, we got position battles of galore. They don't want any of that stuff. They want what the Chiefs have. Quiet, and we're worried about one thing. And even the one thing the Chiefs are worried about, they have multiple options to correct the one thing. So even then, it's a camp battle, but it's like kind of boring in and of itself. Boring in camp is better in camp if you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan or an NFL fan in general.
Yeah, I mean, I think the boring kind of comes from, I think that the biggest part about Chiefs training camp is either looking at the rookies or discovery. There's things you don't know. Your team made a big trade. You want to see what this guy looks like in your uniform. Your team had a lot of draft picks, a lot of rookies. It's the discovery of it all. There's really not that much to discover with the Chiefs. Their offense is the same. Their offense is the same, except for that left side. There's no new tight ends. I mean, you brought in another wide receiver, but it was a mid-round pick in Jalen Royals. I think that fans have a very realistic expectation of what he's going to be this season. On defense, it's largely the same defensive line, largely the same linebacker room. You made one move at corner to go pick up Christian Fulton. Like, if we look at the 22 starters from the Super Bowl, and we look at the 22 starters that are going to take the field in Brazil against the Chargers, there's just not a lot of turnover. There's just not a lot of changes with this team. So I think that's a good thing. I'm with you. I like that the Chiefs are boring. You having a boring offseason, you having a boring training camp is the sign of you being a very good team. I'm going to guess that the Eagles also feel that way. Hey, we know our team is good. We know our starters. We know our roster. We went to the Super Bowl last year. We just want to continue what we do, stay hungry, mind our own business, keep guys healthy, keep guys out of trouble, and we feel like we got a really, really good football team. That's exactly how the Chiefs should feel this offseason as we are a couple weeks away from St. Joe. Coming up on the other side, Rob, I want to go back to something that we talked about earlier in the week because there was a question that I didn't get a chance to ask. We'll do that next. Keep it right here, so drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
All right, welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday. I want to go back and I want to play something because I realized, Rob, there was a question that I didn't answer for you, and then I also have a question. We played this a couple of days ago. There was a situation in Ohio in which a roller coaster got stuck not once, but twice.
The tallest, fastest, and longest tilt roller coaster in North America has not had a successful start. Take a look at this video obtained by 19 News. People stuck on Cedar Point's newest ride, Siren's Curse, forced to get off after it broke down Wednesday night. This is the second time it's broken down since it opened on Saturday. You can see riders carefully walking along the tracks, hundreds of feet in the air, eventually making their way to a small emergency staircase. People who were at the park reported the riders being trapped for close to 40 minutes. These photos show a crew working to get everyone off the ride. We were told by a spokesperson from Cedar Point that riders were escorted off because it would not restart. Cedar Point celebrated the opening of Siren's Curse just 5 days ago on June 28th. Just hours into the grand opening, the 160-foot roller coaster experienced issues. The amusement park said it had a delay that paused the ride's operation, and the ride was stuck in the vertical position for approximately 10 minutes.
I told you guys this a couple of days ago. I understand that we all have different interests. Some of you are outdoorsmen. Some of you are thrill seekers. I'm not either one of those. I don't have any problem if you want to go out there and hunt. You want to go shoot Bambi? Go ahead. I don't even know what a quail is. If you want to go out and bungee jump and do all those things, great. Don't invite me, but great. I don't understand getting on a roller coaster. You saw it was broken 2 days ago. It was stuck for 40 minutes, and now you go get on the roller coaster. I don't understand that. So, Rob, I actually was thinking about this, and I didn't get a chance to tell you this. I have ridden the monsoon. I'll go on the monsoon at Worlds of Fun. Is the monsoon and Worlds of Fun or Oceans of Fun? It's kind of like in a weird no man's land, like both parks get to claim it. But I will get on the monsoon. I like it. It's quick. It's real quick. You go up. It takes that little left-hand turn. It goes down. One drop. Swoosh. I'm out of here. I do really enjoy the monsoon. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm getting on the monsoon. I'm going to ride the Viking Voyager. I'm going to ride the Fury of the Nile. That's about it for me. I can't think of anything else I've ridden. I went to one of those like Halloween nights and all my friends wanted to get on the Panther. I think that's the name of the ride. Maybe I misquote.
Patriot?
No, it was like something at night. I don't know. It was, I think it was
Prowler?
The Panther. Prowler. That's what it is. Yep. The Prowler. I knew it was something, P. I knew it was a cat or something. It was the Prowler. I looked at that thing and I heard it. It was whoosh. I'm like, I'm not getting on that. I've never ridden the Timberwolf before. Never. Never ridden the Zambezi Zinger. All of these rides that you guys love and have these great fond memories of, I don't have any recollection. I'm not nostalgic about any of that. There's things I am nostalgic about, and we'll get to it. But I was really trying to give it some thought. The monsoon is maybe the only roller coaster that I'll ride there. That's it. I'm not riding anything else. I'll walk around with you. I'll have a great time. I'll be fun. I'm not going to complain. I'm just not getting on any of the festivities for you. That's what I thought about. So I was watching this, like a video or whatever, and they were kind of like asking, like, what's your favorite fill in the blank thing? And Rob, they were asking, what's your favorite trend from the 2000s? Now, this is where I shine. This is where I excel. You know what my answer would be? You know what I kind of miss from the 2000s? I mean, I like the touchscreen phones, but you know what I remember? I remember there was the T-Mobile Sidekick. I don't know if you had one or not, Rob. I have Verizon, so I couldn't get the T-Mobile Sidekick. And I'm telling you, when I first saw that thing, and you remember, it had like the little touchscreen, and then you would like flick it, and it would whoop. And then you could like actually type with the actual keys, and it had the little wheel. I'm telling you, I thought this thing was the greatest piece of technology that I'd ever seen in my entire life. If they brought back the Sidekick, and I'm telling you, it had just with the modern updated features, like it had a better touchscreen, but I could whoosh and I could flick it and I could actually type with the real keyboard, I would get rid of the iPhone right now and I would switch over to the T-Mobile Sidekick. I love the Sidekick or the iPhone, don't get me wrong. And ever since the iPhone has been over on Verizon, I'm not an Android. I don't want that phone. Please keep that phone away from me. I don't even want you texting. Oh, well, the Android, I don't care. I don't want your phone. The only phone I would consider getting, Rob, is the old T-Mobile Sidekick. Can we bring that back from the 2000s? That's the trend that I want to bring back. I want to bring back the T-Mobile Sidekick. What's your answer? What's something from 2004 that you'd love to bring with us to 2025?
I'm trying to think of a thing that stands out. I wasn't the world's biggest graphic tees fan, but graphic tees were everywhere. You had, you know, whatever. It wasn't like you were wearing a t-shirt with Chiefs gear or whatever. It was kind of like what you're wearing now, a Nirvana shirt. You had a Superman shirt. You had a, you know, I feel like Kohl's had a wave of these, like old bands and superheroes. Graphic
Target
tee.
Had a bunch of those.
Target
now.
Had a bunch of them.
You can definitely go get you one from Target.
That was a huge trend. And I wasn't the world's biggest graphic tees fan, but it feels like that'd be a nice, easy return to nostalgia. I don't miss the Palm Pilot or the BlackBerry the way you do, or the Sidekick. That doesn't move me in any way. I was never big on like Puka shells or anything like that, so that's not really for me.
You definitely had some Doc Martens back in the day.
I guess cargo shorts would be nice to bring back, but not cargo pants. I mean, that's kind of how I feel. I wasn't like I was a trendy kid in the early 2000s. I was doing a lot of what I do now.
No, that makes a lot of sense. You know what I did like? And maybe we have the same thing now and I just don't think about it because I have an iPhone. I do feel like in the early 2000s, everybody kind of had their own cell phone. Like, I'm sure this is the case if you have an Android, but it's not really a thing if you have an Apple phone. Like, there's one iPhone. It's the same shape. Everybody has the exact same phone. I feel like a cell phone in 2005 was part of your personality. Now, I know you remember this. Every baddie had the Motorola Razr. Every single one. Every single one. They had the pink one, a red one. They had to wear it on the hip. Every single baddie had the exact same phone. It was part of it. A phone was like a form of expression, you know? You know how weird it would be right now if it called, right? Like, Rob, if you and I were sitting there and your phone rang and a song started playing, I would look at you like you were weird. Like, you got a ringtone? Why did we lose that? I'm telling you, early cell phone culture wasn't that bad. It was actually a lot of fun. I like to bring that back. That's a nostalgic memory that I have. But riding the Timberwolf, that ain't nostalgic for me. I've never been on it. And no one that has ridden the Timberwolf makes it sound like it was a whole lot of fun. I don't see a whole lot of, man, the Timberwolf is great. No. This one guy said the Timberwolf broke his back. I believe that he's joking, but I'm not getting on that nonsense. Number one, I'm scared. And you're telling me I could have a serious spinal injury? No, thanks.
How good were you at T9 texting? That was also a big deal back in the day.
I was good.
What was your quality? Now say it's even Androids, it's all the same keyboard. So like how good of a texter you are is no longer really a thing. It's like how busy are you at work is your ability to text. But as a kid, it was like, could you T9 and get a text done fast? Or are you typing out every letter? And it's also the era where like you would say things like, you know, what are you doing? It'd be what the letter R, the letter U doing. And you knew that person was no good with the T9 and you couldn't trust that person. I do miss judging people's text quality and their T9 ability. Now, every day, everyone has a keyboard. So who cares?
I'm telling you right now, you know what? You know what I'm telling you? I just want them to bring back the T-Mobile Sidekick. That's it. That's really the purpose of all of this. Right now, that's what I would love for them to do. Do you think you could get one of those old phones and do you think they would turn it on for you today? I mean, you could be able to use the phone and you could text. You wouldn't really be able to do anything else. Like, I don't know if you're getting the internet on there. You know what I mean? I don't think that you're getting the internet, but You would be able to make text and phone calls. I don't know what else you really need the phone to be able to do. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by Jacob Milham. We'll get his thoughts on the Royals that swept the Pirates. Keep it right here. So drive.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.